You're listening to Kizuki, the podcast. I'm Mei Yoshikawa, and I define the Japanese concept of Kizuki as the following. Kizuki. 1. A moment of epiphany, an aha of realization or insight which opens the knower to a new dimension of truth that was formerly unknown. 2. Steps in an incremental growth of awareness, resulting in a movement from ignorance to greater awareness of the bigger picture. A kind of knowing that cannot be undone, that cannot be unrealized. As a longtime yoga and meditation practitioner, a world traveler and curious self-explorer, I'm obsessed with Kizukis. Listen on each week for inspiring and enlightening stories that may just tip you over for your next aha. On this week's episode, Borderline, Borderline. So does it seem crazy to you guys, this Japanese, mostly Japanese, mixed breed, having grown up in this mega urban city of Tokyo, but finding your heart in South India and just diving into this ancient tradition of yoga and meditation and everything unseen and invisible, and yet finding herself through this mix? Goodness, it still flips me out to this day. But somehow, it was like since the first week that I started practicing yoga, I had this sense that I might do this thing forever. Not so much for the physical aspect of it, which I love that too. But I just felt like something so close to my inner core, my spine. And amidst all of those tumultuous experiences of my younger years, it served as a center, a silent center for me to find my way back to myself. I understand now that yoga is not the only way to find your center and to find your sense of belonging. It can be anything. It can be a different tool for each person. But for me, yoga really largely opened that door, that pathway. So last week I spoke about my experience with my mom's neurological illness and how this narrative of why tortured me on the inside, and how eventually I came to flip that to, whoa, wait a minute, maybe the question isn't why. I want to add that even before my mother's illness, my parents had gone through rough divorce. I was 14, going on 15 at the time, and the youngest of four siblings. So my older brother and my two sisters had already left the house, or they were going to university abroad, and they weren't in the house the way that I was. So I really took a lot of heat from my parents' divorce. And because it was rocky period for me anyway, 14 going on 15, I feel like that scar really was my first scar, in the sense that I didn't know who or what I could trust anymore. Around this time, I developed the idea, the thought, that I was borderline. Now, I was never diagnosed actually, my mom did take me to a psychiatrist because I was going through a really rough patch at the time. I was never diagnosed as borderline, but I felt on the inside like I was always on the edge and I could tip over and just lose it on any day, which was why I developed this idea that I was borderline. And without having really shared that with anyone, I had let it grow and take root inside me. And before I knew it, it became a thought about my own identity, one that I identified with for many years. So years after that, I started yoga and meditating, and slowly, eventually, I began to observe my thoughts and these ideas that were not making up who I am, but was making up who I thought I was. Then, later in my 20s, I met and married a man and had a baby. I was with him for about 5 years, but this marriage really fell apart pretty much as soon as the baby was born. And I went through a really harsh divorce myself. And this was so difficult for me, not only because the divorce and the impact of the shock hurt me, but also because divorce was something that I feared. One of the things that I feared most, having gone through the impact of what my parents went through some 10, 15 years prior to that. So I used to refer to these events of my life as the tsunamis, the tidal waves that wiped me out. First, it was my parents' divorce, and then it was my mom's illness, and then it was my own divorce. And I just felt flattened. I had no idea how I would recover from all of that, but I knew at the time that I just needed solace. I needed a way to come back to myself. So that summer, with my then 9-month-old baby, my first son, separated from my then husband, and my mom still ill in a care facility, I decided that I just needed to jet. And I needed to get out of Japan, get out of Tokyo, get some perspective about my life and all of these feelings, and that the best place for me to do that would be in South India, where I had found my heart's home. People thought I was crazy for taking this 9-month-old baby and traveling to India. But to be fair, it's not like I was going backpacking with a 9-month-old, you know. I had my people. I was always going to the same town, staying in the same house. I had local friends. I knew people. And I knew that I would be safe, my baby would be safe, and that we would be taken care of there. And that I would have this practice of yoga and meditation and this solitude to hopefully begin to touch base with my soul again. So I have this little episode here from my book, Kizuki, Realizations Beyond Time and Death, and it's called Borderline, Borderline. So this bit of storytelling I want to read to you today. That summer, I walked into my friend's living room in India, so ready to spill my heart out. I was bursting at the seams with everything that was going on in my life. He offered me chai, like always. Chai, and sitting down, and what seemed to me like endless hours of deep listening that were never hurried and would never run out. I spilled out my tale of 3 tsunamis to him. I relived the recollection of my wipeouts. I sobbed dramatically through the telling of my story, never mind how many times I had told it to myself in my own head. All the old stuff compounded and came out stronger than ever, as I felt like such a survivor coming fresh from my most recent tsunami, that was my divorce. My friend listened deeply, without empathizing too much, but also without pushing my emotions aside. He trod the middle path delicately and took it all in, nodding and sifting through the tip of his long, thin beard. He listened intently, as though he were listening to my being more so than to my words. "Hmm," he said. He seemed pensive as he started in that classic Indian accent. "So, you are telling, when you were 14 years old, your parents divorced?" "Yes. Yes, this is a very difficult age, a tender age. You see, when a child is going through puberty, her world is shaken up anyway. So, divorce of her parents at this age is indeed a very difficult thing." His understanding of where I was coming from was deeply comforting to me, and, as my sobs subsided, it was my turn to listen intently. He continued, "You wanted to die, but you didn't. And then there was your mother's illness. You wanted to quit everything, quit life. But instead, you started yoga and meditation. Finally now, your own divorce while carrying your son who is not even 1 year old. You say you are broken to pieces and falling apart. Yet, here you are, drinking chai in my living room. Actually, you've probably found yourself the best and safest place you could be right now, considering your circumstances." He took a sip from his steel cup of hot chai and set it down again on the floor by his cross-legged knee. "You say you are borderline. I understand that you have been to the edge. Time and time again, you have been to the edge. Yet look, each time you have been to the edge, perhaps even looked beyond the cliff and into the depths of the fall, each time you have been there, you have not fallen to the other side. Every time you have emerged safe, on this side of the border, and in one way or another, you have turned the page. I understand you have been to the edge on more than one occasion. And yet I say, you are not borderline for that very reason. You see, to me, it is obvious. You are the type of person who will always be safe and protected, no matter how many times you go to the edge. If you were a true borderline case, you would have tipped over by now and you would have visited the other side. Not you. You have always stayed on this side." And there it was, the stark Kizuki, an aha of light, a whole new perspective. A way of looking at my story of tsunamis through a much wider, larger, clearer lens. And the lift, the sensation of that old veil lifting off my obstinate mind, making way for the new. Funi ochiru is how they say it in Japanese. It's that new piece of information that settles well in your stomach. It's a gut-level understanding that just feels right, and therefore, it permeates your being, and you let it change you. That's what happened to me that day over that long cup of chai with my friend. A kizuki, once arrived upon, is a kind of knowing that cannot be undone, that cannot be unrealized. Having discovered that, no, I am not borderline. And in fact, I am protected every time. I went home to Tokyo with an inkling of an inward smile after that trip. Not that the hard days came to an immediate end, but because I now carried within me the basis of what it would take for me to come out the other end. I touched upon the light. I touched base with that piece of my lost soul. I was going to heal myself.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about me in my upcoming book, Kizuki, Realizations Beyond Time and Death, at my website, maey.live, or find me on Instagram at maeyoshikawa.